Thank you for joining me today, and I hope you've been with us all week. We've learned a lot. We want to know how God makes us holy. And to answer that weighty question, we have set up camp in the New Testament book of Romans. Next week, I'll be taking us further on in, but this week we've been reading and talking about verse 1. And we have met the author of Romans, a man named Paul. He tells us three things about himself at the start. First, Paul is a bondservant of Christ Jesus. Second, Paul is called as an apostle. And third, Paul is set apart for the gospel of God. I gave you greater detail on all three of these facts about the Apostle Paul over the last four broadcasts, and you can get that on the podcast from the WEZ website if you missed any of those. Just go to 590amtheword.com and download the podcast of God Is. But as we end the week together today, I want to give you a short biography of the Apostle Paul and sort of sketch out for you what else we know about him. Now, this is only a short biography. There's much more to know about his life and ministry, and along the way, we'll get to know him much better. I want to recommend to you that you read the book of Acts, chapters 7 through 28. The book of Acts, A-C-T-S, chapters 7 through 28. This will give you great detail about this man's life and ministry. And what a great way to spend time this weekend. Grab your coffee, your tea, or your smoothie, whatever beverage you enjoy. Settle into your favorite chair or cafe, take up your Bible and read the New Testament book of Acts, chapters 7 through 28. You won't regret it. Let's begin with this. Paul is not his original name. He is born Saul. His name changes from Saul with an S to Paul with a P after his conversion to follow Christ. Keep this in mind as I'm going to use both Saul and Paul in what follows. Intriguingly, Saul is born about the same time Jesus is born, but Saul is born in a city called Tarsus, which is in modern-day Turkey. At that time, Tarsus was in the Roman province of Cilicia, and so Saul comes into the world as a Roman citizen. And there are great implications for that, as we will see later on, but remember, this letter is written to the Romans, and Paul will go to Rome, and he has the rights of citizenship given the place of his birth. Saul is Jewish. I repeat, Paul, is a Jew. In fact, he traces his lineage back to the tribe of Benjamin. If you know your Old Testament, this is immediately impressive. Benjamin was an elite tribe. Israel's first king came from the tribe of Benjamin, and his name was Saul. You guessed it. Israel's first king was named Saul. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul writes about this and his qualifications as a Jew. Circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. That's Philippians 3 and verse 5. Saul spent significant time in his early life in Jerusalem and naturally very intelligent. I think he was brilliant. He studied under the rabbi Gamaliel. And Gamaliel was the most famous rabbi of his time. He's a Pharisee and he teaches students, like Saul, Jewish law. Let me read to you the book of Acts, chapter 5, and verse 34. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up in the council. So young Saul is studying under a premier professor with an outstanding reputation as a Pharisee. Boston is a city with several very prestigious universities, and people come from all over the world to study under the best professors in their field. Imagine Saul going to Jerusalem to do the same. The professor is Gamaliel, and the student is Saul. And Saul's dad would have been very proud of his boy. Saul's father was also a Pharisee, and so Saul is a Jew through and through, and he's smart and learned and well-qualified. He's highly trained as a Pharisee. And that means he hates, absolutely despises, the early disciples of Christ, the church, and most of all, Saul loathes Jesus. Jesus was his fellow Jew, but Jesus is one who claimed to be the Messiah and who therefore became the great adversary of the Pharisees, as we read about in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus is an adversary of the Pharisees, and Paul is a Pharisee. In fact, what Saul is doing when he has his encounter with the risen Christ is that he's on his way to persecute and arrest the early Christians. Oh, you must read Acts chapter 7, and when you get to the end of it, you'll read about the martyrdom of Stephen, Christ's follower. And as Acts chapter 8 opens, there's this absolutely chilling line. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting Stephen to death. Saul did not only harass Jesus' disciples, Saul put them to death. Ah, but God Almighty had other plans. Remember what I told you yesterday. Paul saw himself as being chosen by God, even in his mother's womb, before he was born, as being set apart, not to kill Christians, but to become one. And not only to become one, but then to lead the Christ followers as the greatest Christian to ever live, in my opinion. I did not say Paul is the greatest man. That's Jesus. But when you get to know the Apostle Paul through his writings, I think you'll agree with me. Who did more for the Lord than Paul, formerly named Saul? And that brings us to a road leading into Damascus, modern-day Syria, sometime between 33 to 34 AD. It's on this road that Jesus Christ appears to Saul and transforms his life in a thoroughgoing, absolutely radical way. You'll read about that this weekend in Acts chapter 9. That's Acts chapter 9. From his conversion onwards, Paul preaches the gospel every single day wherever he goes, and he goes on far-long journeys all throughout the massive Roman Empire. We read about his three missionary journeys also in Acts. Of course, before Paul does that, he spent three crucial years in Arabia, where he received direct revelation from Jesus Christ. I read part of Galatians 1 earlier this week, but let me read now from Galatians chapter 1 and verses 15 through 17. Here Paul describes God setting him apart and then revealing Jesus to him so that he could preach Christ to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. He says that he does not go to Jerusalem where the other apostles were at first, but rather to Arabia. And Arabia is a wilderness desert area east of Damascus. This is now Paul writing in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Paul then takes what he learned from Jesus and tells the whole world about it. That is the gospel which we will be talking about. Here's something about Paul I also want to mention. He was not a good-looking man. Maybe your image of Paul comes from one of those picture Bibles or some painting you've seen. Usually when we are children, we see such images, perhaps in a Sunday school class, and they stick with us. But the Bible pays attention to detail, and what emerges in 2 Corinthians and Galatians is that Paul was no model for the front of a magazine cover. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 10. For they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal appearance is unimpressive and his speech contemptible. Paul's personal presence is unimpressive. And then in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 14, Paul writes about the condition of his body and says that the Galatians did not despise or loathe him. I'm reading Galatians chapter 4 and verse 14. And that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe. So Paul was not good looking, but it doesn't matter. God is always using the weak and the ugly and the non-important by the world's standards to be holy and to do great and lasting things for him. As Paul himself says in 1 Corinthians, God uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And in what is perhaps one of the Apostle Paul's most memorized sayings, Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth, "And the Lord has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul lived by the grace of God. This grace empowered him, a weak man, an insulted man, a man dealing with distress and persecutions and difficulties, but when he was weak, then he was strong. Dear Christian friends, you may have it bad. Remember what Paul said. And if you're not a Christian, Here's a good reason to become one, so that the power of Christ may dwell in you as you experience God's grace. This letter, Romans, is written by Paul from Corinth, most likely in 56 AD, and it was delivered by a woman named Phoebe. And Paul writes this at the end of the letter about her, which is why we know she brought it to the Roman Christ followers. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who was a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you, for she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. That is Romans chapter 16 and verses 1 through 2. Eventually, Paul does come to Rome. In fact, this is where he was killed, somewhere between 65 and 67 AD. And now the Apostle Paul, our brother in Christ, our mentor and discipler, is with the Lord. And one day all of us who follow Christ will see him and join with him in worship of our God Almighty. What a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. Today I've sketched out for you the Apostle Paul's life, but he would definitely want me to emphasize not him, but Jesus Christ. So let me end this brief biography by quoting Paul from the last chapter of Romans, chapter 16 and verse 27. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen. Paul concerned himself with Jesus, and Paul wanted all glory and honor to go to Christ Jesus, who is Lord. And together with Paul, we who know Christ honor him. We glorify him. We praise him. Jesus Christ, the only wise God, be glory forever and ever. Enjoy your weekend, part of it spent reading in the book of Acts, and then join me again on Monday back in Romans for much more of God Is.